Hi there, happy Friday. Welcome to my daily update video. Just having a great day. Hey, in a moment, I want to share some thoughts about passion for God, zeal and passion, how we can stay full of that and how that can be the driving force in our life. But as always, a couple of housekeeping things. Number one, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please hit the subscribe button down there. Check out some of the links below. We have an offer this week on my course on Revelation. That's not the book of Revelation, but actually the subject of receiving revelation from God. I think that's normally $50, but we have it on offer 80% off, so $10 for this week only. Link below me. Later this afternoon, I'll be doing a live Q&A session. So I have about five questions I've been gathering, and I'm going to be answering some of those questions live. If you have any more, I'd be happy to take those as well. Here's some of the questions I'm going to be tackling later today. Do we need somebody's permission to give them a word, a prophetic word from God? Kind of about permission and prophecy. The question, should Christians tithe? Always a popular one. And this is a really interesting one. Should a single Christian use a dating site or a dating app? I have a question on the end times. Why do Christians see the end times so differently and disagree about that? And lastly, should Christians get involved in politics? So really easy questions and a little something to annoy or upset everybody. But to be back those, let me mention again this weekend, my wife Leah is speaking in Sturbridge Worship Center this evening. She's speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. Service starts in our cafe at 7 p.m. this evening. And I'm going to be away on tour this weekend in New Hampshire, in Goffstown, New Hampshire, 8 p.m. tomorrow, and also in the morning of Super Bowl Sunday. But I'm going to be back home in time to watch the Super Bowl with my friends. We're having a Super Bowl party here. Good. So, hey, real quick, let's talk about passion for a few minutes here. I don't know if you've ever thought much about that. And here's my thesis, my proposition, my premise to you today. I think God is the most passionate person in the universe. I think God is literally the most zealous, the most alive, the most enthusiastic person in the entire universe. And I think God created us in his image, in his likeness. And to walk with God is to be full of passion. And I think, frankly, if we were, you know, religion is the antithesis, religion is the complete opposite of passion. I think it was Mark Twain who once said, if you took everybody who was bored in church on a Sunday morning and laid them end to end, they'd be much more comfortable. And got you there. But come on, it really is, God does not want us to be motivated by law, by duty. Though it's good to obey the law and it's good to have a sense of duty. God doesn't want the primary motivant, the thing that drives us, the thing that maintains us, the thing that initiates our action in our life to be some threat of breaking some law. God wants us to be passionate about him, passionate about everything we do. And I actually don't think I need to sell anybody on that, because I think intrinsically we know that. Do you know, there's something I've noticed this in my life and in the life of others. We are all attracted by passionate people. I mean, at every level. And it's actually amazing how we can listen to somebody on YouTube talk about, you know, mathematics or something that I don't necessarily find interesting. If they're passionate about the subject, if they are really enthusiastic about it, and whether I understand it all or not, sometimes they communicate that passion to me. And God wants us to live our lives that way. He wants us to walk in our ministries and our callings, which is something we all have, in that way as well. And come on, I really want you to see that God is not the author of this sort of boring, you know, tone it all down idea. It's an interesting thought, but if you ever, don't ever look at Buddhism, there's no salvation in Buddhism. You know, the very basic premise of Gautama Buddha, of the Buddha, was this. Sin comes from passion, and I think he's right. That's actually what James chapter 1 says. And so what Buddha taught and teaches people today is sin, failure, brokenness. If you'll sin, comes from passion. And then the idea was, if you can get rid of passion, you can get rid of sin. Now, how's that going? Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's other questions we could ask, like about even if I learned that and put it to work, what about my past sins? But leaving that aside, I accept there's some sort of basic truth in that. The problem is it's impossible to get rid of passion. And you can sit in a lotus position for the next 20 years and, you know, try to meditate on your navel or something. And you can have passion within you and you can have sin within you. You know, there's a song. I was born in Liverpool and otherwise known as the Promised Land. And, you know, the home of the Beatles. There's a time the Beatles went to India, probably was about 67, was it? And, you know, sat at the feet of this Maharishi in India in an ashram and wanted to learn all about inner peace and meditation. And, you know, after a while, John Lennon, one of the Beatles, figured out that the Maharishi, the leader, was full of something and it wasn't curry. The point was he was realizing this guy was teaching and what he wasn't living what he was teaching. And John Lennon actually caught this guy sneaking into the girls' tent, the girls' dormitories, and trying to sleep with the girls. And there's a Beatles song John Lennon wrote, and it's actually about this Maharishi. It's called Sexy Sadie. And it's actually about a man. It's not about a woman. And in a way, this guy's going, the song basically says, you said you were so enlightened, but you're just like the rest of us, really. And of course, that's true. We all need a savior and we can't be our own savior. But here's my point in saying this, guys. Christianity doesn't say dumb down your passion, eliminate passion. Just sit there looking at a potted plant. I always have to say, as a Brit, I want to say a pot plant, but pot plants mean something different in America, I've had to learn. So looking at a potted plant, trying to empty your heart. Rather, Christianity actually says the opposite. God says, I want to fill you with passion. I want to make you more alive than you've ever been before. God says, I want to give my passion to you. And rather than God coming to us saying, here's a bunch of rules, here's the Ten Commandments, try your best to follow these that lead you into this cycle of, it's like the Romans 7, you know, oh, wretched man that I am, the thing I want to do, I can't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I keep doing, like, ah! And trying to obey laws on your own willpower is exactly like that. And rather, Christianity says, God says, I'm going to make you a new nation. I'm going to make you a new creation and a new nation. I'm going to put my laws within your heart, and then I'm going to breathe the life of my spirit upon them. And rather, you know, as the psalmist said, your law have I hidden in my heart, and it's my delight to do your will. And I think God wants everything we do, even sometimes the tougher things, to be the outflow of love and passion for him, love and passion for other people. Just the sheer, frankly, God wants us to live from the pleasure of loving him. He wants us to be hedonists, pleasure seekers. And I believe catching a heart of passion and then learning how to sustain that can be so powerful. There's a song we used to sing in England years ago. It's from Psalm 69. It says, his zeal has consumed me. It burns like a fire in my soul. And I just want to give you a few quick keys here, maybe four or five keys on how do we stay full of passion? How do we maintain that? How do we let it propel us? Let me give you one more example as well. But it's funny, I've helped two of my teenage children buy vehicles in the last 2 or 3 months. And for whatever reason, maybe it's the inner European coming out, they both bought stick shift manual vehicles rather than automatics, which are what most Americans drive. And, you know, it's interesting. If you were to put a manual car anyway into first gear, you could turn the starter motor and the starter motor will move the car. The car will, it will begin moving. But very quickly, usually within 30 seconds or so. If that startup, here's the point, the starter motor is meant to spin the engine and get the engine going. And then the engine's meant to propel you through life. The starter motor is not meant to carry you down the road. Now it will move you, but really quickly you will run out of power, out of battery power, electrical power, because it's not meant to do that. And at times when we think of our willpower, I believe our willpower is a really good, it's like a starter motor. I can set in motion things in my heart with my will, but I can't maintain them with my will. And I can will to do the right thing. I can choose to do the right thing. But really quickly, like a car just dying, I'm going to run out of willpower. And rather, what I think God, how he wants us to live, is that we, with our willpower, we choose his way, we choose his word, we choose the right thing. But rather, it's the breath of his spirit that carries us along, propels us and maintains us on that path, not our own willpower. So willpower is a great initiator. It's a terrible device to keep you going. So I want to give you 5 quick keys as I reach the end of this video. Let me begin. To maintaining passion. Okay, these are real quick. Number one, you've already got it. I love saying that. Andrew Womack wrote a book years ago called You've Already Got It. And how do you get God's passion? Let me say that. You already have it. If you have Jesus living in you, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you haven't, check out my video somewhere below and you can find out how to receive him. But you've got the passionate one, the passionate God living within you. So rather than look at this like, how do I get God to give me more passion? How do I work this up? Rather, you release it rather than manufacture it. So number one, you've already got it. Number two, passion is released by focus. Okay, now, here's my point. Right now, I am not feeling passionate about, I don't know. I should be careful, shouldn't I? I'm not feeling passionate about my kids. Okay? I have no more thought of them than a man in the moon. But if I start talking about them and the awesome people they are and all God's put within them and the plans and futures he has for them or whatever, I could be crying in 2 or 3 minutes or I'm going to be really passionate about that. But I don't, if I look at myself and think, oh, I've got no passion about my kids. You know, if I said I have no, to be honest, I've got very little passion about helping the poor or helping people struggling. But I do that. And once I do that, once I actually jump in and bring some food to somebody or actually get involved, suddenly I'm really passionate about it. My heart's really engaged with it. And we need to learn that we've got to focus upon it. If I am, you know, it's like the atomic habits key in a way. There's some things I hardly ever feel like doing, but I've learned when I begin focusing on them, begin starting them, again, the starter motor thing, the passion is there and the passion begins to be released. Key number three, passion is fed as well. And it's possible, it's important that we, like a fire, you can burn out of wood for a while. You can feed your passion. And how do we do that? We do that by learning who God is. We do that by beholding him, beholding and becoming. We all are changed and transformed as we gaze into his presence. Is it 2 Corinthians 4:18 says? And there's a kind of a beholding and a becoming, and like a tuning fork. You know, I have some guitars in my office here and I have electronic tuners these days. But in the old days, they literally have a little fork with 2 pieces of metal and you would kind of bang it. And this tone, you know, maybe the key of G or C would come out for it. The 2 pieces of metal would resonate one with the other. And we were called to resonate with God. We are called to resonate with heaven. Yeah, it's so amazing. You know, you can actually, if you ever try one of those tuning fork things, you can actually have one in another room or, you know, quite a distance away and bang one and the other would pick up on that thing. So there's like a sympathetic vibration. We're called to, sounds like a Beach Boys song, doesn't it? Good vibrations. But we were called to resonate with heaven. We were called to resonate with the passion of God. So when you get around passionate people, some of that passion will rub off on you. How do you feed yourself on passion? Feed yourself on God. Feed yourself on his word. Read the book of Psalms. I remember my, there's a great man of God who used to minister in Holland called Johan Masbach. And he's gone to be with the Lord now, I believe. But Masbach, it's interesting. It's quite easy to see a video of Masbach because in the 1950s, T.L. Osborne went to Holland, to The Hague in Holland, to preach the gospel. And you'll look on YouTube, you'll see like hundreds of thousands of Dutch people coming out to The Hague, open air, to hear the gospel. And signs and wonders, blind eyes, cripples walking, you know, the dead raised, glorious things. And When Osborne first went there was a, you know, the pastors had designated some interpreter for him who was you know, this really old guy who was very well respected, but he couldn't speak English very well. And Osborne wasn't really happy about working with this interpreter. And there was a young man on fire for God. And T.L. Osborne said, I'm going to work with him, Johan Masbach. And this is a long-winded story. But I remember years ago, my father-in-law saying he was in Holland at the time. My mother-in-law's Dutch. And it's like he was at a real low ebb in his walk with God, you know, just not feeling it. And he went to this church, and that guy Masbach prayed for him. And I think Masbach said, just go home and just only read the book of Psalms for a season, for a period. Just like bathe yourself in the book of Psalms. Here's the principle. David's a man after God's own heart. And in David had many faults, but in King David, you see that passion for the things of God. And when you spend time with it, you'll catch it. So key number three, you can feed your passion. Key number four, there's a danger of momentum. One of the dangers is, and I'm a very passionate person, is that we can stay in that place of passion and vitality, and we're excited about the things of God. And at times, like a car maybe coasting at 80 miles an hour, we think we're great, we're just blasting through things. If we don't feed our passion, after a while it will begin to wane, and there's like a sort of an ever-increasing curve you can graph where you begin to crash. Like a plane flying, there's a point at which if it doesn't maintain that speed, it's not going to fly down in a neat little line. It's going to really plummet down. So we need to maintain that momentum of our passion. We need to be thoughtful about it. You know, some of the things we put before us, back to focus, they're not wrong. They're not sinful, but they don't help us. They're a drag. Hebrews 12, 1-2. They are a weight upon the heart, and they feed us. They dull our passion rather than fill it. So key number five, and it's really the answer to this, build a fire. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God, the song goes. And we can build that fire within our soul. That passion is there in our spirit, but it actually needs to be in our soul. And I think there's a place we can even feel it in our body. And it's our job every day to put new wood on the fire. It's our job every day to live, to maintain, to build, to intentionally design a lifestyle so that we maintain the passion that God wants us to walk in. Boom. Well, I'm well over time today, but I hope that's helped you, and it really will if you put that into practice. So I'm praying for you today that God's passion just explodes all over you. Boom. Thanks for watching, guys. Check out my Q&A later today, and lots of good videos coming out. Bye for now.